In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In the name of Jesus. Friends, secrets are meant to be uncovered, revealed through investigation and human effort, often given a sense of control and understanding once they are known. They are hidden pieces of information that once discovered can be fully comprehended, explained through reason and logic. But mysteries, on the other hand, remain what they are. Mysteries are profound truths beyond human understanding and cannot be fully grasped through reason alone. A student then would spend hours studying for an exam because it makes sense to a student that when they know their material, they're studying and they think their knowledge increases by understanding their material, which then improve their chances to get a good grade. Their logic is driven by the desire for the good grades, which can lead them to better opportunities or career prospects or better colleges. Or maybe a business person carefully analyzes the stock market and they invest in stocks that they believe will rise in value. They make their decision based on financial research and financial reports, market trends, and for a business person, his action is all guided by reasons and expectations, and it is about making profit. They understand the risks involved, and they make the most potential for financial gains to justify their investment. That's what they have in mind. Like a student or a business person, Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, he relies on his logic and his reason in his pursuit of righteousness. He believed that by meticulously following the rituals and laws, he could earn his own salvation and God's favor. And then he has this conversation of Jesus. When he's faced by these miraculous signs he sees Jesus performed, he says, "It can't be. God must be with him." So Nicodemus found that his conventional reasoning fell short. Nicodemus could not explain the marvelous things Jesus has done and taught. He meticulously analyzes them, the events, and he runs the equations, and he verifies the physics and the chemistry behind them, and he can't explain it. And despite his extensive knowledge as a teacher of Israel and his logical reasoning as an educated man, Nicodemus concluded that the only explanation he could come up with, that Jesus must be a prophet and God is with him. So in order to satisfy his curiosity and maybe some of his friends, he comes to Jesus secretly by night in order to find some answers. For this man is the source of all of these wonderful teachings. What Nicodemus could not see at this time, we Christians see. Where a student studies for good grades and a businessman invests in hopes of for good returns, and a Pharisee engages in observance of rituals and rules, convinced that their effort will lead them to salvation or maybe God's approval. But Christians are led by the Spirit, who point them to Christ, the Son of God, and the Father. So the Christians then delight in the mysteries of the church, where we pray and praise and give thanks for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life won by Jesus Christ on the cross. We, like Nicodemus, rely too on reasons, though. So we need faith to see God's kingdom as Jesus points. So the little Nicodemus in us might nod in agreement when we study the Bible and find some logical explanation. We often say, it makes sense, or I can go with that when we read those Bible commentaries, those footnotes. But yet we're still sinners, we rely on understanding, and when we read those and we feel that we agree with it, it makes us feel confident in our faith. However, true faith goes beyond logic and reason. So as Lutherans, we believe that our good works are not investments that earn us salvation. Instead, salvation comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, begotten of the Father, Son of God, who bore witness to Nicodemus and continues to bear witness to us and to our neighbors through word and sacrament, through our confession and worship. So the mysteries of God are not secrets for us to unfold or to dissect, but to receive in faith. For Jesus says, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that again reminds us Sunday after Sunday, it is about our baptism. We are born again, receiving the Holy Spirit, and we are being brought into the kingdom of God. And this rebirth opened our eyes to see Christ's presence in the supper and his work in this water and word in baptism and the promise of eternal life or his unity as one God in one. Or the forgiveness we receive when it is pronounced in his church. Day after day, we are still a sinner, too. Those two are true. The sinner in his natural state cannot see the kingdom of God because he's blind to sin. He doesn't see spiritual truths. And our sinful nature then inclines us to rely on reason and logic, leading us to seek tangible things, worldly explanations and solutions. It leads us to focus on the material and the rational that prevents us from perceiving the realities and divine mysteries that constitutes the kingdom of God. Rebirth is not a matter of human effort, as Nicodemus tries to do. It is about spiritual gifts given to us through water and word, bread and wine, that we receive here. So when we are born again in baptism, we are given new spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God. However, even as believers, our sinful nature persists and must be confronted daily. This is why Martin Luther emphasizes daily contrition and repentance, that the old Adam in us, the sinner, must be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and then a new man comes up, created new in Jesus Christ, rise to live before God in righteousness and purity because of the Son of God. So it's important for us to acknowledge that we might not feel always this new birth, for our emotion and experience, especially when we are hurt or sad, can make us doubt the reality of our forgiveness and salvation. Our feelings and instincts are not things to measure with spiritual gifts and truths. God promises you that he stands firm in his promises regardless of your emotional state. So beloved in Christ, remember that the Holy Spirit is at work in you even when you do not perceive it. As Jesus said, the Spirit blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, for it is with everyone. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit works in mysterious ways, beyond our understanding, to keep us in the faith and to open our eyes to see the kingdom of God. Again, we must remember that the sinner cannot see the kingdom of God through human reason and effort, but it is a gift. So the text that we hear today is to remind us that there are some mysteries about God, and we cannot understand them with our own reason or strength. My favorite answer on Tuesday Bible studies is this. When I'm asked a question about these mysteries, my answer is, I don't know. For this scripture said, this is what Jesus says. There's no best way to explain it in my own word. This is what God reveals to us on this Holy Trinity Sunday, that is three in one. But he gave us his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is to say that Jesus did not respond to Nicodemus with, I know this sounds like it does not make sense, or I know it is difficult to understand, but hear me out, Nicodemus. Instead, he proclaims to Nicodemus the necessity of being born again and reveals to him the mystery of the kingdom of God. All to say that godly things transcends our human logic and reason. And then we confess in the Athanasian Creed, one of the great creeds of the church, which articulates these mysteries, the Holy Trinity, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say they're one, and they're co-equal, and they're co-eternal. But it begins with the assertion that this is what the Christian faith believes. This is what the universal Catholic faith believes. And it is a mystery that we receive and we accept, for we cannot comprehend it with our own reason. And these mysteries are explained in the first commandment that God gives to us. You shall have no other God before me, which calls us that we should not have any other God besides this three-in-one God, for that would be idolatry. And idolatry is not just bowing to statues, it is placing anything, our logic and our achievements and our desires, above God. For the student, idolatry might be found in the pursuit of academic success and find that ultimate goal that they desire, believing that good grades define them. For the businessman, it could be the relentless chase of wealth or seeing financial gain as the highest good. For the Pharisee, it is the strict adherence to the law and rituals, trusting in one's righteousness rather than God's grace. And these examples highlight how easy it is for us to elevate something created or a product of our own efforts and place it above God. But the mysteries of God, as we just confessed in the Athanasian Creed, they call us back to one truth, that God alone is worthy of worship and trust, and he is beyond our full understanding, and he reveals himself to us in love and grace. So, friends, what do you see in church this morning? We don't come here for rituals or logical understanding, but be before the living God who reveals himself through word and sacrament. Here we see God present in his baptism, bread and wine, and the proclamation of his gospel. Here we worship him in Trinity and Trinity in unity. In this place, the mysteries of God are received in faith for the student, for the businessman, for the Pharisees. We might not always understand with our own reason, but his promises are graciously given to us, whoever believes in him. For us, we see the church, which is the cross, and the cross is the perfect worship of God, the perfect understanding of God, the perfect faith in God, and on the altar of the cross, Jesus offers himself to be this perfect sacrifice. So we come to his table, for he is our justification, and his holiness is our sanctification and his resurrection, our life and his divinity, our glorification. This is what we have in this earth, given for us, not to grasp of our understanding, but to receive for the kingdom of God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it is in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.